You know, it's not many lines into that the reading of that passage that you'd realise that Jesus is actually operating on a different wavelength to the rest of the characters. Let's just remind ourselves, shall we, of the scene. So Jesus and his disciples are going through Samaria. They're on their way to Galilee. They're near in the village of Sychar, however you want to say it. And that was about noontime. The hungry disciples, they went into town to get some food while Jesus sits down to rest on the wall of Jacob's well. And then a woman comes out from the village and she's going to fill her water jar. Jesus asks for a drink. And Jesus initiates a conversation which ends in a life-changing experience. Overjoyed with her discovery, she leaves the water pot and rushes into town to share her discovery. Meanwhile, the disciples return from the city, and they're amazed that their Lord would be speaking with such a person, i.e. a woman. Shock, horror. On top of this, and probably more importantly, he missed his lunch. They urge him to eat something, whereupon Jesus says, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say, 4 months more and then the harvest? I tell you, open your eyes, look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Even now the reaper draws his wages. Even now he harvests the crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus the saying, one sows and one reaps, is true. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefit of their labor." I bring out four things from this passage. I'm sure you could think of many more things, but when I was just preparing this, I just thought four words. Opportunity, first up, opportunity. You know, the disciples were a bit earthbound, weren't they? Concerned with who Jesus was talking to, the food that he was supposed to eat, and a recently planted field of wheat. What does Jesus see? Well, he sees fields ripe for harvests. In some versions, it says he sees fields white for harvest. They mean the same, but there's a subtle difference. I'm using a bit of poetic license here, and I hope, well, we're used to seeing golden fields of wheat, realizing that it's ready for harvest. When it turns a slightly whiter color, it says, "Come and get me. I'm riper than ripe." Now, that's at the risk of making a fool of myself in front of the farmers amongst us. But I'm sure they understand what I'm trying to say. There's two aspects to this part. You know, when we look upon twinning, do we see opportunity? Do we see a work in progress or a difficult place to witness? Let me ask you this question. Is twinning ripe for harvest? You don't have to answer that. Just think about it. Let me ask you, are you harvesting? You know, the older I get, the more sort of stupid I become about harvesting. And I'm harvesting damsons and apples and raspberries and walnuts and blackberries, anything that I can pick and freeze, make into jams or preserves. There's an urgency about this time of year. Why? Well, because to delay, the fruits waste on the plant, don't they? And the last thing I want to see is waste. I hate it. And Jesus is sort of saying that as well, isn't he? He's sort of saying, the fields are ripe. Get to it. Don't delay. There's an urgency about this. So the question is, are we showing haste in our witness for Christ? You know, one man looks at a desert and sees a wilderness that nothing will grow in. Another thinks how he can get water to a barren place to make things grow. One man comes to a wide river and turns back because he cannot cross. Another works out how he can build a bridge to cross. One man thinks how difficult the place they live in is to witness to. Another man seeks opportunities. What camp are you in? So that's opportunity. Point two, workers. So Jesus mentions two types of workers, the sowers and the reapers. So what's he saying here? Isn't he saying that there's many workers in the process of harvesting? Do not think because you are not a mighty evangelist that you do not have a part to play in the harvesting of souls. So I don't know if you've watched the DVD of Billy Graham, but it was great because here you had a mighty, mighty evangelist who's been instrumental in bringing thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of people to Christ. But with him were two other people, ordinary people. Maybe they've gone on to greater things, but you know, ordinary people with ordinary problems, with ordinary lives, who just wanted to share their story about how they came to a point when they became a Christian. And it's a good DVD. If you haven't watched it, I should say you should go and have a quick old look. And also, we just pray that people within Twinning may have a look at it as well, because every single household in this village, I hope, got one. I'm still trying to work out where Ludders Hill is, if anyone knows. Let's just think about Jesus' ministry for a moment. You know, many times he was moved with compassion for people, and then he acted. If we think about Matthew 9, he viewed the people as harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. What did he then say? He said, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few." Realizing that Jesus couldn't do it all on his own, he went on to say, "Ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers." So what's he saying there? Thinking about who the Lord of the harvest is. You know, is Jesus asking us to pray for Twinning? Or is he asking us to pray for workers to meet the needs of Twinning? What do you think? It's a rhetorical question. You can think about it. You know, Jesus is often filled with compassion for people, and then he acts accordingly. Do we have the same compassion for the people around us? Our friends, our family, our neighbours. That compassion, how would it shape our witness? Point three, commitment. Jesus is clear that he sent his disciples to reap. Jesus himself said in verse 34 that his job is to do the will of him who sent him. You know, to that end, Jesus renounced his rights of his position in respect of God in heaven and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. The cross. And you remember in the DVD, the cross comes out very strongly in that video. The cross, the climax of Jesus' commitment to do the will of God. You know, it's in the same sense of obedience to the mission of Christ that we too have to carry our cross. And as Paul says, we must deny ourselves. And in a sense, whatever the cost, are we committed to the harvest? searching questions for us to consider. Finally, joy. My friend Dickie Green, some of you might know him, harvests the grass on the Ham in Tewkesbury. You know, when it's all gathered in, he and his fellow workers have a meal to celebrate the gathering in. He doesn't pay him anything, just says, come along and I'll give you a meal. But they celebrate. In verse 36, echoes that thought, saying that the sower and the reaper may be glad. Harvest is hard work, but at the end of the time, there's satisfaction of a job well done and the collection of the harvest. We rejoice when we see somebody coming to be a Christian. Heaven rejoices over one sinner who repents. Just before Jesus was crucified and had completed his work on earth, he broke bread with the disciples and said he would not drink again with them until that day in his Father's kingdom. What Jesus is saying is, look beyond the labour of this earth to the light, or in the light of eternity, for that is our reward. Then note the events of this story. Jesus spoke to one woman, and as a result, many Samaritans became believers. Do not think that your words will go on stony ground. No, no, no. Should I say yes, yes, yes? So what's the conclusion? Some observers think that this vision of Jesus only relates to the Samaritan people of the time, because none of them had heard the gospel of Jesus and they were ready to respond. In modern day Britain, we've all heard the gospel and we don't see mass conversions because all of those who want to respond have done so, and most people are apathetic to the gospel. However, my prayer, your prayer, is to see people come into Christ. And I say that, is that yours too? Do you see ripe fields or barren wastelands? Amen. So we're just going to finish up now with a song, and it's To God Be the Glory.